Could you turn in your Bibles, and they might come up on the screen as well, to 1 Peter. As a family in the church and as a church family, we have, and we are in grief in some ways, at the loss of a loved member of our family here. And whilst I can testify and say I have experienced some things in his going to be with the Lord, Dave's release into glory was the most amazing time to have witnessed. And I know that in the coming years, the family will be nothing but grateful for what happened in those moments for the glory of Jesus. And he was worshipping and praising and thanking God all the way through to glory. And so there are times that, there's times, and I spoke about it last weekend, there's time for tears. And sometimes I think we, whether we suffer the loss of a loved one or whether it's through a painful trial or situation with work or relationships, very real things happen to each and every follower of Jesus Christ. And some of you might be in real pain sitting here this morning because of something you are going through personally. But, you know, Scripture is our guiding light in these times. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And there are things that we can receive when we hear the word that really help us and equip us to see a way through very difficult times and come through to a place where we say, well, the Lord is amazing to have got me through that and to have done what he did in the journey as I was going through. And so the word that I'm going to speak on today is actually about the value of trials. And whilst there's a lot of pain, we need to see that there is actually something that God can do in it and through it that will result in good things in the end. And we're just going to read verse 3. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 3 to 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by the fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And Peter must have been writing to the church, and of course the word of God has gone through every generation, to every church in all generations of all time, that actually there is a way through, an understanding of the tests and trials that happen. The various, it says various trials. There's not just one kind. There are many different kinds. And I'm sure you could list yours. And some of them are little and some of them are big. But we can all relate to that. But Peter starts with how amazing God is in his mercy towards us, that we should be born again. He speaks of the new birth, which is the biggest miracle of all miracles, that a sinner, someone who is absolutely, totally unacceptable before God, should, by receiving through faith Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, be born again. And that new creation is totally acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so when Peter starts talking about trials, he starts to say, look how merciful God has been to each one of us, that we should have this living hope when Jesus was raised from the dead, that now we are new people, that we're sons of God through faith in Jesus, and we have something reserved for us in heaven, an inheritance which can't spoil or fade, like your carpets, your face, the many things that do. All of creation is currently under the burden and under the sway of the enemy. But the new creation is a new creation. And our inheritance is reserved in heaven, kept in heaven, and we're being kept by the power of God. So Peter opens up this, in this you greatly rejoice. There's an excitement about heaven that needs to come into the heart of every believer. Going is going to be amazing. Leaving your physical body is going to be incredible. And he wants us all to have this long-term view, eternal view of our days on earth, that actually we know where we're going, and it's going to be far more exciting, much better than anything we will have ever experienced here on earth. But he wants heaven on earth too, because he's come to give us the kingdom and Jesus and his presence. But heaven is going to be exciting and amazing. So Peter starts with the end, really, or the beginning of something great and exciting and new for all of us, which helps us to understand that if we're going through a difficult time, it's temporary. And that really is helpful, even though you may not feel it this morning. You might be in pain currently, but it is temporary. It's not going to last forever. Praise the Lord. All I can say is praise the Lord. But we need to know what good can come out of this when it's so hard, Lord. And you pray those kinds of prayers. This is so difficult, Lord. How do I get through this? And Peter says, this is happening for a little while, if need be. If it needs to happen, which... in this world, Jesus promised that there would be trials and tribulations, and we would be tempted by sin and the devil. Satan would tempt us to walk away, to sin, to compromise, that this is normal. Trials are normal, even though we resist them and shout and scream when they happen sometimes. It's actually so that... now look at this, this is the genuineness, verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. So that, I've got a slide, the genuineness of your faith is actually not counterfeit. You haven't got counterfeit faith. You haven't got fake faith. It's a genuine faith, and it's more valuable than gold. And the definition, I do have a slide, the definition of genuine is actually to test something to prove that it won't fail. We're doing great. To test something, she's working in the spirit with a message. To test something to prove that it won't fail. Now, if a carpenter or someone, an expert designer or builder or whatever, say making a chair, making this beautiful chair, not the normal chair, but just carving it and making it stunning and beautiful. Everything that's going on is making that chair functional and beautiful. The two things. And the craftsman is looking at it, the craftsperson, maybe I should say, is looking at it, and they are kind of shaping it and molding it. And then afterwards, they don't just celebrate how beautiful it is. Well, they're going to have to say, does it work? And you pick someone, probably a bit heavier than the thinnest person in the room, and you say, could you sit down there? Let's test it. Maybe this big, muscly bloke sits down. Let me try this chair out. And if it works, it proves that it genuinely does what it says it's going to do. Well, that's faith. You may have faith already, but actually, it needs to be proven that it works. It does what it says, not on the tin, but in the Bible. And so, trials kind of enable us to experience, really, the faith that God has put in us, or the faith that we need to receive from God if we don't have it at the time, so that it can be tested to prove, actually, this works. This Christian life works, and it only works by faith. The Bible says the righteous shall live by his faith. The Christian life doesn't work by anything else but faith, by grace through faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so when the trial comes, God is looking for a trust, a dependency, a reliance on him. And scripture here is speaking about that there may be a revealing to the praise and honor and glory of Jesus. So actually, not to reveal what doesn't work in you, but eventually to get to a point where, oh, I see Jesus in you. Amen. And it has been my privilege to be in the worst cases, worst situations for people, even this week, and I've been able to say, I saw Jesus. I didn't see your stuff, I saw him. And that essentially is what God is wanting to reveal. The Christ in us revealed to us and through us. So people will go, now that's God. Now that's not people that can do that in that situation and show who God really is. How can they rejoice and still have a hope when this has happened? Well, because Jesus is able to work that in every situation for his good and glory. And it speaks here about gold and fire, how if you want to get some gold out of some gold ore, as in O-R-E, ore, I think that's how you spell it, you need apparently about 4 tons of gold ore to produce. Now listen to this, 4 tons of gold ore, what a lump that would be, to produce 1 ounce of pure gold. That's tiny, isn't it? 1 ounce of pure gold. And apparently what happens is in the furnace, this big lump of ore is heated and it liquefies, and all the impurities and all the things that are not wanted, in other words, nearly 4 tons of it. How many of you know your flesh isn't wanted? 4 tons of it. And the testing of the fire actually melts it and separates it out, so that actually what's left in the bottom is this tiny bit of liquid gold. And apparently the craftsman or the person working on this can look in that gold and it's like a mirror. Can see an image. And I wonder if we really do realize that what Jesus is after is the image of his son, Jesus, in us. Take everything else out of the way so that he gets the glory. Which is why we're going for the gold. Him. He is. And our faith is more precious than gold that perishes. You see, faith, when it endures, when your trust in Jesus and you continue to trust through your trial, through your pain, through the difficulty, through the hard times, if you continue to trust, it will bring us to a place where we go, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's the purpose. It's no longer I. Nobody's boasting about what Judith can do. They're only boasting about what Jesus can do. And that shift is the shift into the power and the grace of the Christian life. Because our life isn't about us. It's about him. Christ in us, the hope of glory, that he will be revealed. You see, Jacob, he was called, he was blessed, he had so many promises, he inherited the promised land, he inherited everything from Abraham, and therefore from God. But Jacob had many trials, his character was flawed. In other words, there was awe, and a lot of it. And Jacob tried to wrestle his way through life, work his way out of situations, be devious and self-seeking, until it got to a point where he realized he couldn't do anything about a particular situation. And I want to tell you that God loves you to come to a place where you can't do anything about something. You get to the end of yourself. Jacob had to get to the end of himself. End of his own resources and say, I need to pray. Kids, everybody leave me. I'm going over there. And he gets with God. And all night he wrestles. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And some of you know that his hip was a little bit knocked out by the Lord. And Jacob walked very differently after meeting with God. And what happened is the trials broke his independence, his ability, his selfish ability, and brought him into a place where God did it, not me. And who gets the glory then? Not Jacob, but Jesus. Peter had to get to the end of himself through his own failure when he said, me, I will never deny you, Jesus. Not me. I'm one of the 12. Up front and personal. Here I am. And you know that person is in each one of us, in you all. You might be looking at somebody else, but look at your own all. And you, I'm cool. Jesus and me, cool. We're fine. And then he fails. He fails the test. And you know that failure was his making. Aren't you glad that your failure can be the making of you? Because what it does, it brings Jesus out, not you out. And so Peter, his failure broke his self-sufficiency. And he went back and said, I can't do it without you. I can't even follow you without you. I can't be a follower without you. I can't live the Christian life without you. I definitely can't not be tempted and fall without you. I'll be deceived without you. I won't go to heaven without you. I can't love like without you. Without you, I can do nothing. Doesn't that sound like somebody else we're following? Our King Jesus. Without, he said, I can do nothing of myself. How humble is that? How utterly dependent is that? That's trusting that only the Holy Spirit, the Father, could do it through him. Oh, what a joy to know that place where yourself is broken, your independence is broken, and suddenly you go, it's not I, but Christ. I no longer live. Lord, live through me. I can't do this. I can't be the best husband, the best wife, the best single for you. I can't raise my kids for you. I can't do my job without you. I can't do anything without you. I need you, Jesus. You see, when I'm convinced that my own strength won't get me through, and that is very regular, praise God, I'm so grateful that I get more and more convinced as I follow Jesus I can't do it. Okay, so I'm telling you, I'm celebrating the good out of this. This helpless, weak state, I celebrate because it's like I am more than ever convinced that I'm collapsing on Jesus. Not just leaning. Because when I lean, I've still got a bit of me on the ground. I'm collapsing. When all is failing around you, collapse. On him, the rock of the ages, the one who never fails. I feel some of you going, I'm going to collapse after now. I've been trying and struggling, but I'm going to just collapse and say, Lord, I trust you. Simple words, but so amazing. You see, our trials, our tests, our difficulties, our pains, they make us realize that Jesus is real. They teach us what God can do and that he has infinite resources. Infinite. So I can look at you with faith this morning and say, he's more than enough. Beloved, he's more than enough. He's enough. Don't need any add-ons, we just need Jesus. He's more than enough. He's our all-sufficient one. Let's look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm just going to read a few verses here because this is, for me, it's like, well, it happened a long time ago, but it's happening today. And the same kind of things go on in our walk with the Lord. And, you know, we've been taken out of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. But we also go through this process where life isn't perfect. And when the Israelites came out of Egypt, the conditions weren't perfect. First things first, where's the water? There was no water. And what about food in the wilderness? And so there was like this lack all the way around them. Even though the Lord was with them, there just seemed to be this, we need water, we need food. Moses, what on earth are you doing bringing us out of Egypt? And they start to think, this is not good, which we all can in a trial. And Israel heard God's voice through these words. And I believe in a trial. If you're facing a trial today or at any point in your life, listen to what the Lord says because it's very important. He says, I want to teach you something through this trial. And this is what he wants to teach. Verse 2 it says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. To what? To humble you, don't we need that? And to test you, to know what was in your heart, I'm constantly learning that a test shows me where I'm really at. You all look better at it than me. But sometimes when the pressure's on, I go, something comes out of my mouth and I think, well, that's not faith. What does that mean? Why did I say that? Why am I? That was a little bit of a complaint. Why, Lord? Is this happening to me? Why me? And it's interesting because we don't know our hearts. Like, we really don't know our own hearts until trouble hits. You don't know what's in you. And the Lord in his mercy allows certain things to happen. So we get refined. The dross gets out. And the pure, genuine faith and gold is revealed. But he says here, I humbled you in the wilderness to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you'd keep God's commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna you didn't know or your fathers know, that he might make you know. Hang on, this is the lesson. Are you ready for the teach? This is teaching from God. What are your trials going to do? They're going to make you know that man shall not live by his own human effort, ability, working it out, rallying, trying really hard. Natural resources, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But verse 4 is lovely, if you want it. Your garments didn't wear out. Just imagine 40 years. My dear, I'd like to change, but imagine the same colour. And by the way, we didn't plan the colour today. Imagine the same. All that, it's not old. It looks still looks new after leaving Egypt. But I'd like orange today. Imagine wearing these outfits you're in today for 40 years. I bet you wish you picked something else. But your garments didn't wear out, nor did your foot swell. Now, I love that. Swelling feet. God protects you in your walk from anything negative happening. As you walk following him, your foot won't swell. I just think that's a lovely miracle there. I'll take that for me. When I'm 95, my foot will not swell. I take them all because they're all mine in Christ. Even those funny little things that make you smile when you're 30 and make you believe when you're 90. You know what I mean, don't you? Some of you. Others out there who are too young to know, you'll know. Testing your faith will prove. Your foot didn't swell. The Lord your God, you should know that in your heart, that as a man chastens his son, says because he loves you, this is going on. He chastens you. In other words, he's correcting you. He's putting fire, allowing fire, can I say, situations that aren't perfect. I mean, I will never forget my journey. Because I've lived with some very difficult people, but maybe they thought I was the difficult one. But I've lived with very challenging situations, had to share a house with, and my goodness me, it does humble you. And it either brings the ore out or the gold. I like this. It's a new word for flesh, isn't it? That horrible stuff or the gold. Will it bring the best out of you, or will it bring the worst? And the tests prove it. And then you go back to Jesus and say, I'm so sorry. Can we have another go? Because I want you to show what you can do in this where we have to live together moment. And then it becomes amazing. And who gets the glory? Jesus gets the glory. So the more he meets our needs, you see, what God was teaching them is you can't be independent of me. You have to trust me for everything. That was what the wilderness taught them. And if you trust me for everything, you'll find that you won't go without. But also, you will also find out that you are going to live with your needs met, and your faith is going to grow as your needs are met. Because if you look back in your Christian walk, God met that need. God did that. God did that. God did that. And your faith is not only enduring, but it's also growing in trials, because you are experiencing that God supplies all your needs. All your needs according to his riches in glory. So, another slide that says, every difficulty is another opportunity. Say that. For him to show his infinite resources of wisdom, power, and grace. I read that somewhere and I thought, I'm going to take that and use it one day. Every difficulty is another opportunity for him to show his infinite, say infinite. Infinite. You'll never get to the end of his resources of wisdom. You'll know what to do. Power. Ability, the power of God to reveal the character of Jesus. You can't be like Jesus without Jesus. Not rocket science, I know. But only he can produce through his spirit the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. Power in character, but power in might and deeds and miracles and grace. You know, grace. Oh, I love grace. It is amazing. Because grace is God's unearned, undeserved favor towards someone who didn't deserve anything but just receives it. Just gets from God. Just takes from God what is needed in that moment. Which is why when we pray, when we're in a trial, it drives us, if we are wise, to pray. And say, Lord, I need your grace. I need you in this moment to give me what I need so that I can have your resource for the moment. It's wonderful grace. His amazing grace. Paul was able to say, I've had trouble. I've been weak. But I've found that out of weakness, I have been made strong. Who made him strong? The Lord made him strong. So he wasn't boasting about Paul. His boast was in Jesus. It's days, we're in times where we need to boast about the one, Jesus Christ, where he gets all the praise and glory. And he is revealed, even in our trials, to be more than enough. You know, a faith test means that we must try. No, trust, not try. Trust. He simply asks us to trust him. When we can't do anything about it, something that's happened, trust. I will be. You're more than enough in it. There's many times in scripture, the Christian life is portrayed as an eagle. I love it because we're not turkeys. Yeah. Turkeys are stuck. Earth. Scavenging. Eagles soar. And are above it. And have the power of the Holy Spirit to lift them up and to win and to be targeted in life with their eyes, being able to see vision. And so the Christian life is often spoken about an eagle, but part of the eagle's story is that when it makes its nest up high in the crag of a rock, it has its chicks, and its chicks grow, and it feed the chicks, and chicks for Jesus. Here they are in the nest, and they're all comfortable and fluffy and sweet. Actually, they're ugly things, aren't they? Forget that, they're not that sweet. But anyway, if I remember right, they are pretty awful to look at. I digress. But the mum, the parent, actually starts to pull at the nest and starts to rip out part of the nest. So that rather than it being like a feathery little slumber down, little comfortable thing to lie on, suddenly it's a bit like a pincushion, sitting on a pincushion. Can you imagine this sharp stick? This chick is going, I used to like it here. I'm feeling really uncomfortable right now and I don't like it, Mum. Mum, I don't like it. And I think we're a bit like that with God. We suddenly feel a little bit uncomfortable. Hang on a minute, everything was going fine. And we start to feel like this trial is not comfortable. My job, it's just not easy. My situation at the moment, you don't know, it's got really tough. And then the mum does something even more than upset the nest. Starts to flap. Now, if an eagle flaps, you'll know it. There'll be some force. And it starts to flap, and the little chicks get pushed back to the edge of the nest. Brilliant. I know it's funny now, but if you're in a trial, it's not funny. Okay? And the chicks go out to the edge of the nest with the mum going, shoo, shoo, shoo. Brilliant. And as the chicks are there perched, they fall. It's called a faith fall. Because you see, they were always designed not to stay in what is seen, but to live in what they haven't yet seen. But to use their faith wings to fly. And do you know what I love about the eagle? It looks cruel. Why aren't you fixing this, Mum? Falling down through the sky, plummeting. Where are you now? Crash. No. But it doesn't crash. You said you'd never leave me. But he hasn't. He just wants you to experience the power of genuine faith. Because as soon as you use your faith, hang on, this works. Oh, hang on, I caught the thermals. This is fun, it's much better than the nest. But let me tell you something else. Because our Father loves us so much that even if we don't start to use our faith, the eagle comes under and catches the chick and lifts them back up. Just like Peter. When he started to think, what did Jesus do? Underneath are the everlasting arms. Because he loves us. He bears us up on eagle's wings. And you might feel like you're plummeting, but underneath are the everlasting arms. He won't let you crash. You will not crash. Just trust in his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, and his power to lift you up again. Don't we love Jesus? But you see, those uncomfortable times produce something wonderful if we allow him to. And I know it's been said before, but it's worth repeating. It's not original. A test produces a testimony. What happened to Simon this week when he was healed in hospital and they couldn't work it out? It was a test, but it produced a story. I'm going to rhyme, you know I am, for his glory. But it did. Jesus gets the glory because man can't do that. Only Jesus can do that. And Paul says, and he speaks about it in 2 Corinthians, you are like living epistles known and read by all men. In other words, you're like a book being read, a story. And he says, basically, it's the story of Jesus through our lives, page by page, that the world needs to see. But if we trust him in the trial, in the test, in the moment where we need you, Jesus, I am going to collapse everything on you, at that point, God will reveal his greatest work through us, and the world will see Jesus when they read the pages. Amen. Not just one page, a glimpse, but every page. Let's go for every page. Amen. Every page of my life, Lord, be seen and heard and revealed. Amen. Paul also said, I've been there, I've had pain, but I have experienced. Now, this is your testimony. I've been through your stuff, but I've experienced. It's not just knowing and quoting scripture. It's saying, I'm a living book. You can read it. What happened? He said he would do. Let me tell you my story. And by experience, you can say, at this moment of pain in your life, I want you to know what I experienced is that God is able to meet all your needs. Amen. That's a story. That's a testimony that makes Jesus real to you in your experience and through you so that the world can hear how great Jesus is. Finally, if we handle things right in troubled times, difficult times, going through a hard time, if we handle them right, we can see he's going to bring gold out of this. He's going to bring something wonderful for his glory out of this time. And just one piece of advice. I know it's attached on to the end, but it's so important you wouldn't believe how important it is. Don't complain. Beloved, stop it. For your own sake and for his. Complaining about your job, blaming somebody else, attacking somebody else, it's only gonna keep you in the wilderness. You're not gonna come in to the provision and the joy and the power of Jesus Christ if you moan, sigh, There's a million words in that. It's all complaint. Well, didn't come out my mouth, Lord. No, but it came out your heart. Because he knows us. But he knows that complaining in the test, if we complain, you will fail the test. It'll be ore. The gold ore, not the gold. But if you trust and give thanks, To be with, I trust, to be with someone when they're going to glory and they're giving thanks. We saw Jesus. We saw the Lord. And I've seen his glory in that vessel. Thankful. Thankful. Suffering, but thanking God. Wow. May you show everyone how thankful and trusting you are so that he gets the glory. Because he'll work it. He'll work miracles. He'll work character. But he'll work something in the people around you they will never forget. That day they touched, experienced, tasted Jesus in and through your life. And in the end, it truly is all glory. We're going to say this in heaven, and we're saying it on earth as believers today. May all the glory be only to the one who died and rose again. And is the only one deserving of everything that we have to give him. May he get the gold and the genuine out of us in all our trials. So that we live and go through things for a purpose. And you're going from glory to glory. Being changed as you trust in him and him alone. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.